More on-base live-in accommodation is needed for Defence Forces poorly paid personnel than currently planned, while there is an urgency to provide married quarters to make the military more family-friendly. That's according to PDFORA, the association which represents 6,500 enlisted members of the Defence Forces. And the president of PDFORA, Mark Keane, joins me on the line now. Mark, good morning.
Very good morning to you as well, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
I suppose just really what I said there kind of spells it out very clearly. PDFORA calling for more family-friendly living options. I suppose the question is, why are these not in place at the moment?
It's a very good question. Unfortunately, it goes back many years with the closing of many barracks with military installations throughout the country, which saw a hemorrhaging of accommodation, which is badly needed again, as we have... As we've all witnessed throughout the country, the rise in rents, the unaffordability of people being able to buy houses, and this has affected all members as well, who are unfortunately priced out of the housing market and the rental sector.
It's not the first time that this issue has been raised. I know you've talked about it before. Also, Fine Gael TD David Stanton, he addressed the Oireachtas Committee meeting with the chairman of the Commission on Defence, Adrian O'Driscoll. And of course, Mr. Stanton himself, he's a former officer in the Reserve Defence Forces. He said that when he was in the FCA, there were 15,000 reservists, but that figure had dwindled to one-tenth, and he maintained that this was connected in some part to barrack closures around the country in recent decades. Would you agree with that view?
Yes, very much so, because before you had a sense of community where there was a barracks located, whether it was Cavan, Monaghan, Ballincollig and Cork, in Cork again, or around the country. You had Kildare as well, McGee Barracks. You had that sense of community. There were recruiting grounds as such that you could recruit from the local population. They had the interaction with the defence forces. They could see the job we'd done, how professional we were, what we'd done. They also then had an opportunity to recruit locally into the reserve defence forces, which then allowed a breeding ground into the permanent defence forces. But we cut off that link to the defence forces.
The Department of Defence is to refurbish, though, as I understand, an old Victorian-era block in County Cork, but also it's earmarked a number of other military installations for upgrading on living quarters, particularly married quarters as well. Just explain to listeners what married quarters are and what benefit they would have within the Defence Forces.
Well, basically what it is that, you know, when you join the Defence Forces, your family plays a vital role in that as well, because it's their support that we can travel overseas, we can undertake operations, we can go to sea in the Navy, we can deploy overseas in the Army, in the Air Corps. Basically what it is that you have a place for your family to live, that you become a part of a military community, that family unit becomes the military, whether it's in the Curragh, whether it's in the McKee Barracks in Dublin, Cattle Broad, the Naval Base in Hobolline, Badonet. It's that when you're there, that your family have a support mechanism around them. If you're deployed to the Golan Heights, if you're deployed to South Lebanon, Mali, that they have a sense of community, they have a family unit around them, which is the military unit. Because we recruit from Rabaul Church, the 32 counties, so you will witness that, you know, we'd have a lot of people which wouldn't necessarily be the hometown that they'd enlist in. So they might bring their family, their children. The British, the Americans, the Europeans do this very well, where the families are catered for, and as I said, that allows you then to serve overseas, because you know safe in the knowledge that your family's safe and well at home, they have a sense of community, they have a family unit, and within that they have the military family.
So just explain to me here to make sure that I have it right. I was actually over in the Curragh a couple of weeks ago, and I was taking a walk around the Curragh village, so to speak, the Curragh camp. But it is essentially like a village. You know, you've the church, you've shops, houses. Is that essentially what you're calling for then in other places around the country? Because years ago, they were very prominent, those type of villages, but they're dwindling now a little bit.
Yes, unfortunately, yeah, and that's very much so. You summed up very well there, Owen. That's what it is. It's community within a community again, because, as you said, you had the infrastructure, you had the schools, you had the church, you had the local doc, you had the amenities, you had the services. What we've done now is we stripped them out. We've asked people to commute fast distances with the closure of barracks. We've asked our soldiers, our sailors, and our airmen to commute greater distances again. So what you've done is you've taken away that support mechanism they had, that when they were stationed around the country in 16 different military locations, they could bring their families with them, that they had somewhere to bring family, that they could then be part of their chosen career, the military.
And Markine Clamoraine here. Mark, there has been a policy in recent years, and particularly we note this in the Curra, where basically the strategy is to remove any people residing within the confines of the Curra camp. Now, the justification offered for that is often security issues, with people being urged to, you know, basically there's no availability of accommodation. And is that not the scenario really worldwide, not just in this country, that are military bases really suitable for family residences?
In one sense, they are, and I understand what you're saying, that the policy seems to be, you know, to remove people, especially after you left service. But it functioned very well for a very long time. If you look back historically, the naval base in Hobo Line would have its own school, its shop, its post office. It had families living on the island. You had the same in the Curra, you had the same Conn's Barracks in Cork. It formed part of it. Like, it's a different career. You're asking people, you know, to buy into this, they travel long periods of time away from home overseas, whether it's in your overseas service with the UN. The family plays a vital role in that. And it always served well that the family had that unit, the military family had that unit, that they were able to look out for each other, look after each other. The Americans still do it, the Europeans do it, our closest neighbours, the British Armed Forces do it, when the family moves with the unit.
I suppose on the flip side of that then, Mark, would you argue that there's no incentive for, you know, young officers to join the army or to maybe move to different localities if they feel as though they can't bring their family with them?
See, at present, you recruit, as I said, from the 32 counties. So there is a stumbling block, whether it's, as you said, a young officer or the people we represent, the enlisted, that's a barrier to them. So if you're seeking promotion or advancing your career, or you want to take up a vacancy, if you're from Cork and you want to take up a vacancy in Finnair Camp, or vice versa, if you're in Galway and you want to come to Conn's Barracks in Cork or Limerick or Kilkenny, you're then making the decision to leave your family behind, to commute that greater distance, or to stay in the barracks by yourself and distancing yourself again from your family unit.
Okay, certainly interesting, and we'll await further clarification on what happens going forward. Defence Forces members wanting more family-friendly living options, and the President of PD4 at Markine. Mark, thanks for taking the time out this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.